This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Every fall, a group of us old high school buddies would reunite for a hunting trip. It was a tradition we held dear, a chance to escape our busy lives and immerse ourselves in nature. This year, we decided to try a new location, a vast stretch of woodland deep in the heart of the Appalachian Mountains. The area was known for its dense forests and abundant wildlife, making it a hunter's paradise. Little did we know, it also held dark secrets. Our group consisted of myself, Henry, Jacob, and our fearless leader, Charles. Charles had found the location and was eager to explore the uncharted territory. We arrived at the campsite late in the afternoon, the sun casting a warm glow over the treetops. The setting was picturesque, the air crisp with the scent of pine and earth. We set up our tents, gathered firewood, and prepared for the night ahead. As dusk settled in, we sat around the campfire, sharing stories and laughter. The camaraderie was palpable, the crackling fire adding to the sense of warmth and security. As the night grew darker, the woods around us seemed to close in, the shadows deepening and the sounds of the forest growing more pronounced. We decided to call it a night and retreated to our tents. I found it hard to sleep, my mind wandering to the stories of old hunters who spoke of strange sightings in these woods. I eventually drifted off, only to be jolted awake by a rustling sound outside my tent. My heart raced as I strained to listen. The sound was faint but persistent, like footsteps on dry leaves. "Did you hear that?" I whispered to Henry, who was sharing my tent. "Yeah," he replied, his voice tense. "What do you think it is?" "I don't know. Probably just an animal," I said, trying to convince myself as much as him. The footsteps grew louder, circling our campsite. We grabbed our flashlights and unzipped the tent, stepping into the cold night air. The beam of my flashlight cut through the darkness, revealing nothing but trees and shadows. The footsteps stopped, replaced by an eerie silence. Charles and Jacob emerged from their tent, equally concerned. "What's going on?" Charles asked, his voice low. "We heard something," I explained. "It was walking around the campsite. We stood there, scanning the woods, but saw nothing. After a few minutes, we decided it must have been an animal and reluctantly returned to our tents. Sleep didn't come easily, and I lay awake, listening for any sign of movement. The next day, we set out early to explore the area. The forest was beautiful in the daylight, sunlight filtering through the canopy and casting dappled shadows on the forest floor. We split into pairs, Charles and Jacob heading north, while Henry and I went south. As we ventured deeper into the woods, an uneasy feeling settled over me. The further we went, the more the forest seemed to close in, the trees growing thicker and the shadows darker. Henry and I found a clearing and decided to take a break. As we sat there, the sound of branches snapping caught our attention. We looked up to see a figure moving through the trees, just on the edge of our vision. It was tall and dark, its movements deliberate and slow. "Did you see that?" Henry asked, his eyes wide with fear. "Yeah," I replied, my heart pounding. "What the hell is it?" We watched as the figure disappeared into the trees, leaving us with a sense of dread. We decided to head back to camp, our excitement for the hunt replaced by a growing fear. When we reached the campsite, we found Charles and Jacob already there, their faces pale. "We saw it too," Charles said before we could even ask. "Something's out there, and it's not an animal." We spent the rest of the day on edge, our senses heightened by the strange encounter. As night fell, the tension grew. We sat around the fire, our conversation subdued, each of us lost in our own thoughts. The woods seemed to hum with anticipation, the silence heavy and oppressive. That night, the footsteps returned, louder and closer than before. We gathered around the fire, our rifles at the ready, straining to see through the darkness. The footsteps circled us, accompanied by a low, guttural growl. My skin crawled as I realized whatever was out there was toying with us, its presence a constant threat. Suddenly, a shadow moved at the edge of the firelight. We all turned, our flashlights cutting through the darkness, but saw nothing. The growling grew louder, more menacing, as the shadow darted between the trees. Panic set in as we realized we were being hunted. "We need to get out of here," Charles said, his voice shaking. "This thing isn't going to let us be." We hastily packed our gear, the sense of urgency growing with each passing moment. The footsteps followed us, the growling a constant reminder of the danger we faced. As we made our way through the forest, the shadows seemed to close in, the trees pressing closer together. We reached the edge of the forest just as dawn broke, the first light of day offering a sense of relief. We hurried to our cars, the growling fading into the distance as we left the forest behind. The drive home was silent, each of us lost in our own thoughts, the fear still fresh in our minds. We never spoke of that trip again, the memories too disturbing to revisit. The forest held its secrets, and whatever stalked us that night remained a mystery. But one thing was certain, we would never venture into those woods again. The experience changed us all, the sense of invincibility shattered by the encounter with the unknown.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
The woods, once a place of adventure and excitement, had become a place of fear and darkness. And though we would continue to hunt, we would never forget the shadow in the woods, the creature that watched us with malevolent eyes, waiting for the next unwary hunter to venture into its territory. Hunting had always been a bonding experience for my family, especially for my dad, my Uncle Bill, and me. Every fall, we would retreat to a hunting cabin nestled deep in the mountains, far from the reach of cell service and the stress of daily life. The cabin, a relic from the early 1900s, had been in our family for generations, standing as a testament to countless hunting trips and family memories. This year, however, would be one we'd never forget. We arrived at the cabin late in the afternoon, the sun casting long shadows across the dense forest that surrounded us. The cabin, with its weathered wood and creaking porch, seemed to welcome us with open arms. The air was crisp, and the scent of pine mingled with the faint smell of the wood-burning stove inside. After unloading our gear, we set about preparing for the evening. Uncle Bill and Dad chopped firewood while I arranged our supplies inside. The interior of the cabin was rustic but cozy, with a stone fireplace, worn leather furniture, and hunting trophies adorning the walls. Despite the comforting familiarity, there was an underlying sense of unease that I couldn't shake. As night fell, we gathered around the fireplace, the flickering flames casting eerie shadows on the walls. We shared stories and laughed, the warmth of the fire and the company of family momentarily dispelling my unease. Eventually, we decided to call it a night, eager to get an early start the next morning. The cabin had two small bedrooms, one for Uncle Bill and the other for Dad and me. As I settled into my bed, the quiet of the mountains enveloped us. The only sounds were the crackling of the dying fire and the occasional hoot of an owl. Despite the peacefulness, I found it hard to sleep, my mind replaying the eerie shadows from earlier. Sometime after midnight, I was jolted awake by a loud thud from outside. My heart raced as I lay still, listening intently. There was again, a heavy, deliberate sound, like footsteps on the porch. I turned to wake Dad, but he was already sitting up, his eyes wide with alertness. "Did you hear that?" I whispered. He nodded, his expression tense. We both slipped out of bed and crept to the window. The moon cast a pale light over the porch, but we saw nothing. The footsteps continued, slow and methodical, moving around the cabin. My breath caught in my throat as I strained to see what was out there. Uncle Bill's door creaked open, and he joined us, his face etched with concern. "What the hell is that?" he muttered. "I don't know," Dad replied. "But we need to check it out." We grabbed our rifles and carefully opened the front door, stepping out into the cold night air. The footsteps stopped, replaced by an eerie silence. We scanned the area, our breaths visible in the moonlight, but saw nothing out of the ordinary. Just as we were about to head back inside, a low growl echoed from the darkness. We spun around, our rifles at the ready, but still saw nothing. The growl came again, closer this time, sending chills down my spine. My heart pounded in my chest as we backed toward the cabin, the sense of being watched overwhelming. Once inside, we locked the door and huddled by the fire, our rifles within arm's reach. The growling continued outside, circling the cabin, interspersed with those heavy footsteps. We sat in tense silence, every creak of the floorboards and rustle of the trees amplifying our fear. As dawn approached, the sounds ceased, leaving us exhausted and on edge. We debated whether to pack up and leave, but Dad insisted we stay. "We came here to hunt, and we're not going to let some animal scare us away," he said, though his voice lacked conviction. That day, we ventured out into the forest, our senses heightened by the previous night's events. The woods seemed unusually quiet, devoid of the usual sounds of wildlife. We found no tracks, no signs of the creature that had stalked us, but the feeling of being watched persisted. That night, the sounds returned, louder and more menacing. The growls were deeper, the footsteps more forceful. We took turns keeping watch, but fatigue eventually overcame us all. I woke to the sound of scratching at the door, the wood splintering under the pressure. My pulse quickened as I nudged Dad awake, pointing to the door. We stood, rifles aimed, as the scratching grew more frantic. Just when I thought the door would give way, the noise stopped. The silence that followed was deafening, our breaths the only sound in the cabin. Minutes felt like hours as we waited for the next attack, but none came. When daylight finally broke, we decided it was time to leave. We packed our gear in record time, eager to put distance between us and whatever lurked in the forest. As we drove away, the cabin shrinking in the rearview mirror, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. The memories too unsettling to revisit. The cabin stands empty now, a relic of past hunts and a testament to the terror we experienced. I often wonder what stalked us those nights, what creature prowled the darkness, and if it still waits for unwary hunters to venture into its territory. The mountains hold many secrets, some best left undiscovered. What we encountered at that hunting cabin was no ordinary animal. It was something ancient, something that didn't belong in the light of day. And though I'll never set foot in those woods again, the memory of those nights will haunt me for the rest of my days. Hunting had always been a cherished tradition in our family, and every fall, a group of us would head out to one of the national parks for a weekend hunting expedition. This particular year, we decided to try a new spot, a remote area deep within the forest that promised plenty of game. Little did we know, it also promised something far more sinister. I remember the drive up to the park, the excitement palpable among us. There were five of us: my dad, my uncle Mike, my cousin Jake, my younger brother Tom, and me. The forest was dense, the trees towering above us, their leaves a vibrant mix of oranges and reds. It was beautiful, but there was an unsettling feeling I couldn't shake as we drove deeper into the wilderness. We arrived at our designated camping spot in the late afternoon and quickly set up our tents. The area was perfect, isolated and serene, with a small clearing for our campsite and a nearby stream for fresh water. As the sun began to set, we gathered around the campfire, cooking dinner and sharing stories. The laughter and camaraderie helped ease my unease, and soon, the forest felt like a welcoming, albeit mysterious, place. After dinner, we decided to turn in early to get a head start on hunting the next morning. The forest at night was a different beast altogether. The sounds of wildlife were amplified, every rustle and snap sending a jolt of anxiety through me. Despite the unease, I managed to fall asleep, lulled by the steady rhythm of the forest. The next day started like any other hunting trip. We split into pairs: Dad with Uncle Mike, Jake with Tom, and me on my own. We planned to cover as much ground as possible and meet back at the campsite by noon. As I ventured deeper into the forest, I was struck by its stillness. There were no sounds of birds or rustling leaves, just an eerie silence that hung heavy in the air. I found a good spot near a cluster of trees and settled in, my rifle at the ready. Hours passed with no sign of game, and the forest remained unnervingly quiet. Just as I was about to give up and head back to camp, I heard it, a faint rustling in the bushes to my left. My heart leapt with excitement, and I raised my rifle, scanning the area for any sign of movement. The rustling grew louder, closer, but I saw nothing. Suddenly, the bushes parted and out stepped a deer, its eyes wide and frantic. It stared at me for a moment before bolting, disappearing into the trees. I lowered my rifle, disappointed but intrigued. Something had spooked the deer, and I intended to find out what. As I stood to investigate, a cold shiver ran down my spine. I felt eyes on me, watching, waiting. I turned slowly, my eyes darting through the trees, but saw nothing. The feeling of being watched persisted, growing stronger with each passing minute. I decided it was time to head back to camp, the sense of unease now a tangible weight on my shoulders. I hurried through the forest, the feeling of being followed never leaving me. Every now and then, I'd catch a glimpse of movement out of the corner of my eye, but when I turned to look, there was nothing. By the time I reached the campsite, I was breathless and on edge. The others were already there, their faces mirroring my own unease. "Did you see anything?" Dad asked as I approached. I shook my head. "Just a deer, but something spooked it. I think there's something out there." The rest of the day passed in a blur of tension and anxiety. We stayed close to the campsite, the sense of being watched never leaving us. As night fell, we huddled around the campfire, the flames casting long shadows that danced eerily on the trees. Suddenly, there was a noise, a low, guttural growl that seemed to come from all around us. We jumped to our feet, our rifles at the ready, but saw nothing. The growl came again, louder this time, sending chills down my spine. "What the hell is that?" Jake whispered, his voice trembling. We stood in silence, straining to hear. The growl faded, replaced by the sound of footsteps crunching through the underbrush. They were slow and deliberate, circling our campsite. Panic set in, and we backed closer to the fire, our eyes darting through the darkness. Then, just as suddenly as it had started, the noise stopped. The forest fell silent once more, the tension hanging heavy in the air. We stood there for what felt like hours, waiting for something to happen, but the night remained eerily calm. Finally, Dad spoke. "We're leaving at first light. Stay close and keep your rifles ready." None of us got much sleep that night. The fire burned low, casting flickering shadows that played tricks on our minds. Every sound, every movement sent us into high alert, but nothing happened. As soon as dawn broke, we packed up our gear and headed for the trucks. The forest seemed to close in around us, the feeling of being watched never leaving. We moved quickly, our senses on high alert, but the journey back was uneventful. We never did find out what stalked us that night. Some of the guys believe it was just our imaginations running wild, but I know better. There was something in that forest, something that watched and waited, something that didn't belong in the realm of the natural. To this day, I can't shake the feeling of those eyes on me, watching from the shadows. The forest may seem like a place of peace and solitude, but beneath its surface lies something far more sinister, something that waits for the unwary to venture too far into its depths. I've been hunting since I was a teenager, and there's nothing quite like the solitude of a deer stand in the middle of a vast hunting ground. Last fall, I decided to take a weekend off from the city's chaos and head to a secluded deer stand I knew well. Nestled deep within the forest, it was the perfect spot, far removed from any sign of civilization. Little did I know, this trip would change how I viewed those woods forever. I arrived early in the morning, the sun just beginning to peek through the dense canopy. The forest was alive with the sounds of nature, birds chirping, leaves rustling in the gentle breeze, and the occasional scurrying of small animals. I parked my truck a mile away from the stand and trekked through the underbrush, savoring the fresh, crisp air. It was going to be a good day, I thought. Setting up in the deer stand, I made sure I had everything I needed, my rifle, binoculars, a thermos of coffee, and a few snacks. The stand was about 15 feet off the ground, offering a perfect view of the clearing below. The morning passed uneventfully, with only a few deer sighted in the distance. As the hours went by, the forest began to feel unnaturally still. The birds had gone silent, and the usual background noise of the forest seemed to have vanished. Around noon, I noticed the first sign that something was off. There was a rustling in the bushes to my left, too loud and too deliberate to be a small animal. I strained my eyes, trying to catch a glimpse of whatever was making the noise, but saw nothing. The underbrush was dense, and whatever it was, it stayed hidden. Shrugging it off, I returned to scanning the clearing. A few hours later, the rustling came again, this time from directly below my stand. My heart rate quickened as I peered over the edge, expecting to see a deer or maybe a stray dog. But there was nothing. Just the stillness of the forest floor and the unnerving feeling that I was being watched. Dusk began to settle, casting long shadows across the clearing. I decided to call it a day. As I packed up my gear, the rustling came again, followed by a low, almost inaudible whisper. I froze, straining to hear. The whispering continued, a disjointed murmur that sent chills down my spine. It sounded like a conversation, but I couldn't make out any words. Trying to stay calm, I climbed down from the stand and started the walk back to my truck. The forest, once inviting, now seemed menacing. Every snap of a twig, every rustle of leaves made me jump. Halfway to the truck, I heard footsteps behind me. They were soft, but unmistakable. Someone was following me. I picked up my pace, my heart pounding in my chest. The footsteps quickened, matching my speed. I broke into a run, the underbrush tearing at my clothes as I sprinted towards the safety of my truck. The footsteps were right behind me now, almost in sync with my own. Finally, I burst into the clearing where my truck was parked. I fumbled with the keys, my hands shaking uncontrollably. Just as I managed to unlock the door and scramble inside, I glanced back. Standing at the edge of the forest was a figure, cloaked in shadow. It was too dark to see any features, but I could feel its gaze boring into me. I slammed the door shut and locked it, my breath coming in ragged gasps. The figure didn't move, just stood there, watching. I started the engine and floored it, gravel flying as I sped down the dirt road. The figure faded into the distance, but the fear lingered. That night, I couldn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw the shadowy figure. The forest, which had always been a place of peace and solitude, now felt like a place of hidden dangers. The next morning, I reported the incident to the local authorities. They searched the area but found no signs of anyone else being there. No footprints, no evidence, nothing. To this day, I can't shake the feeling that something was out there, something not quite human. I haven't returned to that deer stand since. The forest may look peaceful, but now I know that sometimes it hides secrets that are better left undiscovered.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.